Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, March 22nd, 2023. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 69 in the chapter How It Works in that Big Book. We're going to be unpacking paragraph 1 today, and it begins with we reviewed our own conduct and ends with we got this all down on paper and looked at it. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Shay D. from California, Patty F. from Massachusetts. Sandy K. will read the text today. Kara L. will be support at the end of the meeting with 164, and Betsy H. will pick up where we drop off. Reading newcomers today is Christina M., so listen for her after the recording stops. We'll catch up with that, and then we'll wrap up this meeting this morning with Lois P. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Big Book study meeting, that would be March 21st, Tuesday, is 20072. That's 20,072. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting, Wednesday, the 22nd of March, share ID number is 20078, 20,078. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will ask Shay D. from California to please read those 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Shay D. in California, gratefully recovering. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Shay D. from California, for reading the 12 steps. I would now like to ask Patty F. from Massachusetts to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, this is Patty F. in Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose: carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Every over should remain... Oh, I did that one. Oh, no, I didn't. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patty F. from Massachusetts, for reading the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. A couple of suggestions here. Please use star 1 key function for muting only, not your phone, and also consider not using a speakerphone because it has some sort of feedback on a recording. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 69 in the chapter How It Works, and we're going to unpack paragraph 1. We reviewed our own conduct over the years, and then ends with we got this all down on paper and looked at it. And I would like to ask Sandy Kay to please unpack that paragraph for us with her experience and understanding of the directions there. And then she'll share on that for 3 minutes, and then we'll open it up to the general fellowship here for sharing as well. Good morning, Sandy Kay. Press star 1, please.
Thank you, Melanie, for your service. This is Sandy Kay from Glorious, South Florida, a recovered compulsive overeater. We reviewed our own conduct over the years past. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? We got this all down on paper and looked at it. For me, we got it all down on paper and looked at it. Just like anything else that I've done in my fourth step, not everything came out, was revealed to me the first time I did my fourth step. That's why I think I've done a few of them, and that's why I live in 10, 11, and 12, to catch up on those things that eluded me in the years past. For me, this is not just about sex. It is about sex, but it's really more about intimacy, or for me, lack of intimacy. I had been selfish, dishonest, and inconsiderate, and had hurt people, mainly because I had very, very low self-esteem, and every relationship I went into before program was about me. I wanted someone to love me. I wanted to feel loved. I know a lot of girls, women say, oh, my relationship with my father was so special. Well, my relationship with my father was pretty distant. And I really think that I was looking for the love that I never got from my father. And so what happened was I would enter relationships just thinking, what can I get out of it? I actually never thought about what can I do for that other person. And even with my girlfriends, I wasn't intimate with them. I wasn't open. I really wasn't open with anyone until I came to program. And I was already 35, I think, when I found program. And now I'm 75. So throughout the years in program, slowly have chipped away at my low self-esteem and asked my higher power to rid me of those character defects that not only bar me from being in contact with my higher power, but are a barrier to me to be intimate with my friends and communicate my feelings. Because today I'm not afraid of my feelings. I'm not afraid of telling people who I am, because I know I'm loved and I know my higher power loves me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Sandy Kay, for starting us out this morning. We're setting this up very well. Appreciate that very much. And so we're going to proceed with our members sharing on the paragraph, which is paragraph 1, page 69 in the chapter How It Works of the Big Book. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience as well. So I'm interested in getting a lineup, first name, first initial, or last name, and your state to discuss further what this paragraph has done for you.
Michelle F., Massachusetts.
Michelle F. like Frank.
Kelly K., New York.
Who from New York?
Christy,
I heard somebody
M.
from New York.
Morgan.
Okay, I got Christy M.
Rella R.
Robin
from Brooklyn.
Rella R. from New York.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Robin P.
Jody E., California.
Did you get Karen K. from New York?
I wanted to find out who came in second that I didn't hear their name. And they muted right away, so I didn't catch them. I was hoping to catch you back there. And it doesn't sound like we are. Somebody that came in right after Michelle, were they from New York? So this is the list that I have. I have Michelle F. from Massachusetts, the second person that said their name and I missed it, Christy M. from Oregon, Rella R. from New York, Robin P. from Costa Rica, and then Jody E. from California. So let's go ahead with that list and start out with Michelle F. from Massachusetts. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. Wonderful paragraph. And, you know, when in years past, I would just share on all of my promiscuity and sex conduct, and it really was kind of like a drunkalogue. So I wanted to maybe look at it from a different angle today. And selfish, I had to actually think about, well, what constitutes selfish? And, you know, it's trying to get people to share my opinion. It's not thinking about their feelings and their wants and needs. It's trying to get my way. You know, selfish. What's dishonest? I think I know what dishonest is, but I had to look at that, and certainly inconsiderate. How many times have I just been rude? You know, who have I hurt? I know what hurt looks like on a face now. I've seen it. You know, that seems like a rather mundane thing to say, but for this autistic person, it's huge. You know? And where did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Is it ever justified? Is it ever justified to try and make someone jealous or to behave in a suspicious manner or to give them that bitterness? You know, and I did a really thorough fourth step, and I got it all down on paper, and I looked at it, and then I'm embarrassed to say I did not really see it. I did not really get it. What has been really helpful and revealing for me is doing this review at night each day and the spot check inventories when I'm disturbed, and really realizing that if you spot it, you got it. Whatever behavior really bothers you from other people, you have it. We project what we don't like onto other people. You know, we don't want to think that we have those things. So we deflect all that criticism onto them. So people are our mirrors. And, you know, when I see a certain kind of behavior coming up again and again in front of my eyes, I can tell that's my higher power saying, pay attention, Michelle. This is what you do. This is what that feels like on the receiving end. And it's not pretty. And you can get really down on yourself and feel really bad about yourself. But that's part of being sick. You know, we have a disease, dis-ease. And a lot of people don't like to look at that in their lives. So another thing is realizing that everybody has these issues, that everybody, has their own dis-ease. And hopefully I've been helpful in what I shared. I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Michelle F. from Massachusetts. Was it possibly Kathy K. from New York that came in second? Kathy something from New York? Because now would be your time if you did come in second. Star one?
Karen K. from New York.
Oh, really? Okay, great. Then it's you. Okay, hi, Karen. Mm-hmm. Your 3 minutes start now.
You like me to share now or at the end?
Oh, no. If you came in second, I'd love for you to jump right in.
Okay, cool.
I had caught it originally and it just evaporated from my mind, so I want to make sure you got your place.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, everybody. My name is Karen Kay, recovered compulsive eater from Syracuse, New York, and my credits don't transfer. I have to look at my life, you know, doing the four step the first time around, you know, I didn't know what I really needed to know. I mean, I've been celibate for 17 years, so I thought I had that all covered, you know. But I'm learning now more and more about, through the nightly reviews, about emotional dishonesty. And what that was for me was making out somebody to be something that they're not. Like thinking someone was like a safe person, or I thought they were stronger than they could be, and really putting people in places that they really didn't need to be. And where was I emotional and dishonest with people? And, I shared before, how did I use my employee time? You know, did I waste time when I came in, you know, drunk on food and, you know, then ate the donuts in the break room? You know, so how would God have me be? God would have me, you know, show up for work and do what I need to do, show up on time, and use the best time as productively as I can. And that's what I need to look at, is how would God have me be? Yes, what did I do? And I'll just close with this. I'm just learning over the past 2 years, you know, there is no my part. I'm 100% responsibility for what I do, and the other party involved is they are 100% responsibility for their thoughts, feelings, and reactions. Because I used to take on a lot of stuff that just wasn't mine. So I've learned to let go. And also, I could choose to let go and be dragged. So I don't want to be dragged today. And with that, I'll pass. And thank you for your service. It's good to hear your voice. Take care and God bless.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Karen Kay. From New York. Christy M. from Oregon, you're up next, followed by Rella L. No, Rella R.
Hi, good morning. This is Christy M., grateful, recovering, bulimic, anorexic from Oregon. And I really appreciate everyone's service this morning. And I have a difficult relationship with my inventory. I think part of my disease has been extremes in situations. coming from a situation growing up where I was kind of the scapegoat and had some perfectionism. You know, there's times where I go to one extreme where, you know, like everything's my fault. I take all the responsibility. It's all mine. I beat myself up. And then I take on responsibility of others, of things that really aren't mine. I take it all. And in a way, you know, like that's dishonest of like my role and my importance in a situation. And then like the other extreme is like feeling like a victim. Feeling like I have no control, that if this person would just stop doing a certain something, then like everything would be okay. And it's like taking that person's inventory. And I think like I vacillate from those extremes. And what I like about the fourth step is it like gets me that place of balance, like right in the middle. And my brain doesn't naturally think that way. It kind of naturally goes to one of those two extremes. It's like I'm either it's all someone else's fault, and like I'm entirely a victim, or it's all my fault. And like, if, you know, I'm such a mess, I mess up. And like taking that inventory helps me say, okay, here's what's mine. Here's my, very clearly, here's what's my side of the street. Here's what I can own. Here's what I can take responsibility for. And here's what I can let go. Here's their side of the street. Like, I think that's really empowering too, is being really clear on what my side of the street is. And what is somebody else's side of the street? What is like their responsibility? What's outside of my control? And what I just need to give over to my higher power and let go of? And then looking at my side of the street, looking at how my character defects show up, it like gives me some agency, right? It's empowering in a situation because it's like, here's the things that I can do. Here's the things that I have control over. And here's the actions I can take. And here's the things like I have zero control over that I just have to let go. And I have to put in my higher power's hands, and I have to just accept life on life's terms. And I think that's the other piece of, you know, an inventory, whenever I'm feeling selfish, dishonest, or afraid, or, you know, kind of those things that it talks about in the step, a lot of those happen around things that, you know, I don't like, the things that are outside of my control or my will, areas where like I'm not accepting life on life's terms. And like, that's how my I'll wrap up. So, and that's sometimes when my character defects start to show up, is when I don't like life on life's terms. So I just appreciate that balance today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Christy M. from Oregon. Hey, you'll find us on page 69, how it works in the big book. We're going to, we are unpacking paragraph one. If you'd like to read ahead and consider sharing in a little bit. But for now, we're going to open it up for Rella R. to give her experience on that particular paragraph. It's going to be followed by Robin P. Hey, Rella.
Yeah, thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Rella R., recovering compulsive overeater in Brooklyn, New York. So I've had some trauma around this area. Growing up, and there was a lot of dysfunction and chaos in my family, and not a healthy, rather immature attitude towards sex relations. And so I was married for 14 years and I had four children. I was fearful in most of that, you know, that part of my marriage. And I'm working on it in another 12-step program, but I think what I did was I just withdrew and was self-protective. And certainly the, you know, I don't blame myself, but some of the trauma did impact my ability to see the other person. Also, my marriage is not a healthy marriage. My ex-spouse had his stuff, and so and I've kind of been like alone for the past. It's been almost 20 years with no relationships whatsoever. I can, you know, so my attitude has been like withdraw completely. And I know this finding the balance is hard. I haven't given up. And I do think that the work that I do in the fourth step and recognizing my own fear, recognizing that, you know, working on my relationship with a higher power, I've learned to take things slow to check in with what I'm feeling inside. All of these are helping in my healing process. And yeah, I remain hopeful, and I know that I need to keep coming back. So that's it for me today. Thank you all for listening, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Rella R. from New York. Next up, Robin P. from Costa Rica, followed by Jody E. Then we're going to open it back up for other members to share on paragraph one, page 69. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And I grew up in a lot of child abuse, and it was really hard for me. I felt like my picker was broken, you know. I just kept dating the wrong people. People would say, you know, I'd only date rageaholic sex addicts, alcoholics. And people would say, where'd you find this guy? And I would just think, radar, you know. And I really got to have so much mercy and grace through the steps and redefine what I was looking for. And I actually met my husband before I came in to a vision for you. And we went through 11 years of marriage, a lot of dysfunction, and we got divorced. And during that year, we really missed each other. And I came into vision, and by God's grace and mercy, and he went into a 12-step program. And he asked me to go to church with him on Christmas Eve. And I heard God say, Merry Christmas, this is my gift to both of you. And we started dating. We moved in together. I proposed a second time. Thankfully, he said yes. And the thing we didn't realize, we got remarried during the California wildfires of 2018. And we got stuck behind a wall of fire for our wedding. Our friend's house burned down to the ground in Bel King in the night for our wedding. Our honeymoon resort burned down to the ground. So we had our wedding, our reception, and our honeymoon at our Catholic church rectory. I think we're the only ones who ever did that. And we always feel like the first marriage we went through the fires, and the second spiritually, and the second marriage we literally went through the fires. But what I learned was that I have a program now. And the miracle for us is that when I'm selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, resentful, or fearful, I have a place. I have 10, 11, and 12. And I get to live in my marriage in recovery. And it's just, it's like mercy and grace in action. It feels like take two, here you go. And I'm eternally grateful for this program, eternally grateful for vision. It literally gave me a new vision for my marriage and for my life. And God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day of pass.
Thank you, Robin R. Robin P. from Costa Rica. Next up is Jody E. from California. In 3 minutes, we're going to open it up for additional comments. Paragraph one, page 69. Hey, Jody, good morning.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. Oh, my gosh. Talk about selfish, dishonest, and inconsiderate. You know, I just was thinking about in all my intimate relationships, what about Jody? What does Jody want? What does Jody think he needs? Never thinking about the other person and what they might be feeling, what they might be wanting and needing. It was just all about me, and very dishonest, very selfish. And it didn't end well for me in any of them, really. My poor husband, really, I have a lot of compassion for him today, my former husband. Fortunately, I say this all the time, our relationship is on very good terms today, and I am slowly but surely making amends to him. And he seems to be receiving it well and forgiving me, and that makes me very happy. We have a beautiful daughter as the result of our marriage and relationship, and we're both very grateful for that. So my prayer, my hope is that going forward, I will not and won't be so selfish and so dishonest, that I can be considerate of others, their feelings and their needs, as well as my own. It's a dance. It's yeah, it's a dance of wants and needs and desires, and with God's help, more is revealed always. And I put it into God's hands if I'm ever to have an intimate relationship again. And I trust my higher power to decide that for me, for the best. My life is in the hands of God today, and I pray for knowledge of His will for us, not just for me, but for us, and the power to carry that out. And I trust this process because it's working for me. And I'm very grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jody E. from California. We're going to continue our sharing on paragraph 1, page 69 of the Big Book. And although we do value everyone's experience here with this journey, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. If you would give me your first name, first initial of your last name, and your state, please.
Mary C., Linda Ohio. T.
Mary C., Ohio. And Linda P., is that what I heard?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Janice K.
Janice K.
Nancy J.
Nancy J.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, let's go with that lineup and see what happens. We might have room for one more after, but so far we have Mary C. from Ohio, Linda P. from California, Janice K. from Oregon, Nancy J. from California, and Jordan L. from Colorado. First up, Mary C. Hey, 3 minutes, woman.
Hi, Mary C., compulsive overeater. This is, what a great passage, this one. This is, I just finished my fifth step last week, so I just completed this. And I always thought I was a victim. I didn't realize that I was victimizing others, especially men. I didn't trust men. I didn't think much of them. I thought they were just to be used to get my own ways. And I thought they used me, so I'll use them first. And that's how I thought. And I grew up without a father. My dad died when I was only a couple months old. I never had a father in my life, so I was always chasing that love, looking for love. All about me filling my heart with love since I, you know, never had my father. That's what I was always looking for. And, of course, they were never going to measure up. No one was. So I would just jump in with both feet, my eyes closed, and then get in a relationship and like, oh, my God, this is horrible. And then I would just leave and sabotage it or get the heck out of it. And that's what I did my whole life. And I never realized that until I got in the program. Oh, my God, thank God for the program that I could actually sit down and see what I have done, not only to all the men that I hurt, but to myself, how I actually hurt myself most of all by being this way. So now eyes are open, my heart is opened, and I thank God for these steps and awareness of who I really am and what I did. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Mary C. from Ohio. Next up, Linda P., followed by Janice K.
Hi, this is Linda P., recovering compulsive overeater from California. Thank you, everybody, for your service and for the share so far. This part of the fourth step for me was very, very powerful. The first time that I did it in the way that it's laid out in the Big Book, I was shocked, you know, at how many people ended up on that list. It was huge. And, you know, people, situations, things I had, ways I had acted out. I had been abused as a younger person, and I acted out from such an early age, and there was so much shame, you know, about the people that I had acted out with, that I had hurt. And it was like one on top of another, on top of another. But to get it on paper and to see it, it was like letting the light in. And later, the other pattern from doing it in this fashion that came up was staying in relationships way past when I should have. I could have left. Yeah, I think I added it up once that it was 21 years of being in relationships that either A, were not good for me, or B, I knew that I wasn't going to stay in, but that person did not know that and had every, you know, they thought that they would be with me for the long haul. So it was really powerful to uncover all of this and then later, you know, to share it with another person, to let that shame go and to see, you know, underneath, like, whoa, remember thinking, was any one of my relationships, every single one of my relationships was selfish and dishonest. I mean, although there had been good too, I could see that I was there for me and not for them. How I chose people later really changed. And the last two relationships that I'd had were so, so far better from doing this work. And just recently, having completed a four-step, the sex part of my inventory was really, really short. It just really was shocking to see, because I had made a lot of those amends, and it just wasn't there anymore. And that was really, really eye-opening for me to see and to see the progress, and also to see that it's, you know, time to get back out. I've had a, you know, a number of years where I've just let go, you know, of having relationships, and that was kind of a good thing for me to be alone. But now I think it's time to step back in. So I saw that as well. But yeah, this part of the book, this was very transforming for me, and I really appreciate how we do this work, you know, how we do the work. It really gets underneath into the patterns and into the truth and into the ways that we can transform. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Linda P. from California. Next up, Janice K., followed by Nancy J.
Hi, this is Janice K. Can you hear me?
You betcha. You just come in swinging. I'll let you know. I'll catch you.
Okay. All right. Here I go. Swinging away. Okay. Fourth step inventory. My first big book inventory taught me some huge lessons. The first thing, one of the big things it taught me, is that it's not either or. It's not all my fault or all his, her, it's theirs. There's a sharing of responsibility there. And in that shared responsibility, I love the fact that later in the book, or I don't know, earlier, later, somewhere in the book, talking of inventory, it says that if we don't do the inventory and we don't complete it, we don't have the humility, honesty, and I believe willingness to continue with the steps. This is some big chunks of knowledge about myself. So I learned that in step four, inventory. Step 10 gave me continued practice with this. Recently, I faced the loss of a substantial amount of my monthly income. Immediately, the fear storm hit. My rowboat is named Step 10, 11, and 12. So I know what to do with fear, and it took many, many days and trips through inventory. And what has this got to do with a sex inventory? Well, it's not a sex inventory, it is a relationship inventory. I can have a relationship with my fears. I can look at my fears and say, oh, it's bigger than me, it's bigger than God. I must run and hide from it in food. Bad choice. Do not go there. I can look at my fear and say, you are manageable. You can be reduced to dishonesty, selfishness, self-centeredness, and lack of consideration. I look through my rowboat, and I'm bailing like mad at this point. I don't know how many trips to the little bailing bucket I make, but eventually I begin to empty the boat. And what I find is there are cracks in my rowboat caused by my own bitterness and jealousy. So where am I at fault? What is it that makes me vulnerable? Where is the crack in my rowboat? And quick, God, would you caulk it for me? So I'm toddling on. I will be fine. I will not be broke, homeless, and sleeping under a bridge tonight. Oh, yes.
That
and
would
it's
be time.
Working on it. That would be done. My higher power has this for me. And when I ask for help and surrender my will, I get it. Thank you so much. And bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Janice Kay, for your share this morning. Nancy J., you're up next for 3 minutes, followed by Jordan.
Good morning. Thank you. Nancy J., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater of Southern California. I don't know why I pressed star one today, but I did. So here we go. I guess it's God for sure. I know why. I just wanted to reach out to anybody today that maybe feels they're too broken to do a fourth step. Too much shame, too much to hide, too bad a secret that you could never tell anyone. So not true. If I can get through this, anybody can, honestly, because that's exactly what I thought. I was the biggest, most huge piece of SHIT on this earth. No competition at all. When I came into this program and worked these steps. I have kind of a different story. My compulsive overeating didn't start until I was in my late 40s. I'm now 64, but I am the real deal. Don't get it wrong. But honestly, I think, you know, I try to figure out what I was doing, you know, other than everything, other than food. I believe I was just so numb, so zombified, I didn't even have the consciousness to overeat. Just an example, when I was 18, my boyfriend asked me to marry him, and I said yes because I didn't know how to say no. I didn't want to marry him. I wanted to do this or that. I was going to get an apartment with a good girlfriend, but I didn't know how. I didn't know how to manage no. I didn't know how to manage no without, you know, without, with whatever. And that's been my life. Until in my 40s, and you can imagine what my sex inventory looks like, not being able to say no, right? No boundaries. In my late 40s, early 40s, I got into a Hallmark toxic relationship. I mean, he'd be, well, Lifetime movie it was, right? And when I hit bottom with that, I think, blew the roof off of, you know, whatever, and I started eating. I guess, you know, I learned how to overeat. It was something rather than just disappear completely. But, so I said all that to say, I somehow drug myself into the rooms, these calls, and I, when I did my fourth step, when I started looking back at things I'd done, it was shocking. Thank you. So if you're new, go for it. Do this fourth step, and it's all healing. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Nancy J. from California. Next up, Jordan L. from Colorado. And we may have, after Jordan's share, 3 minutes, about 2 minutes for an additional share to wrap us up. Hey, Jordan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Melanie. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent this morning and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Now about sex. this is a heavy subject, and I don't deny that by any means, but I also know that like one of the ways that this higher power, this God of my understanding, works in my life is through humor. So I try to lighten the subject a little bit because I know that for me, when I came in, I had a ton of baggage around this stuff. there's like lots of ideas that we get from our families of origin and our society and friends, even like well-intentioned friends that are trying to help. And so this was the first time that I was really I was really looking at what made sense for me, you know, like discarding all those old ideas that I had inherited from others. What is it that makes sense for me? And I have to do a thorough inventory in order to understand that, you know? So I appreciate that Bill says here, we all have sex problems. We would hardly be human if we didn't. The question is, what can we do about them? So there's no right or wrong answer here, you know? Like, this is really, our ideals are going to be shaped by ourselves and a higher power. They are going to be 100% completely and totally personalized to like exactly what it is that we need in our life at that point in time. And I'll say too, I've done a couple of sex inventories now. Those ideals even evolve over time. Like they stay with me. They stay personalized and exactly what I need in my life at that point. so when I look at where I've been selfish, dishonest, and inconsiderate, unjustifiably aroused jealousy, suspicion, and bitterness, I look at that. So I look at that not as a punishment. I look at it to see the truth about what has really been going on in this department so that I can start to shape like sound ideals moving forward that make sense for me and are not like some inherited bullshit that I got from some other source. So thank you for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordanelle. From Colorado, that leaves us only less than 60 seconds before we really normally would wrap up. I'd like to just allocate that for grabbing up newcomers and saying the Serenity Prayer together, if all y'all don't mind. Appreciate that very much. So we will close now with the reading from page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, but be aware that we have another 12 minutes of meeting left that you don't want to miss, so stay with us to the top of the hour if you can. I would like to ask Kara L. to please read Our Book is Meant to be Suggestive Only on 164, and then we'll follow that with a Serenity Prayer. Hey, Kara, thanks.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.